Freilich and Purim, everyone. My apologies in advance for not having really prepared. Purim is the most difficult day to give the daf. So let's. But there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Kimu v'Kiblu. We were Makabel Torah Shabbat Peh, so let's learn some Torah Shabbat Peh. We're holding on daf Mem Ches and Beis. Today's daf is daf Mem Tes of Maseches Baba Basra. So we're going to discuss the idea that Machlokes about what Rav Nachman says that about a shtar amana, if you say in advance that there was no actual maisa halva, you just wrote a shtar just in case you do lend some money. We're going to discuss the notion of lo ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto, how a man does not get a chazaka in his wife's property, and the idea that a chazaka of 3 years is not a raya that a husband owns the wife's property. That's the idea of in ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto. So let's begin. We are holding on daf mem ches amud beis, and we are about to tell the story of Tavi Tala Lepapi, about 10 lines before the end of the page. Says Gemara, Tavi Tala Lepapi Akinara. He was Tala, a person whose name Papi, on a tree that's called a Kinara. So I guess that's a Dafyomi coincidence, that someone is hanging somebody on a tree. So right off the bat. So Tavi hung this person Papi on a tree, but not to kill him, not to hang him, but rather to force him to sell him a certain piece of karka. Vizabin, and therefore Papi, having no choice, being hanged on a tree, agreed to sell Tavi the karka. Chasam Rabba Bar Barchana, and Rabba Bar Barchana signed, together with another aide, presumably, Amoda'a, on what's called a Shtar Moda'a, that is Mevatel, all of the Mechiros that are going to happen Ba'ones afterwards. Meaning a person writes, Papi wrote beforehand that he's selling the karka to Tavi, but that it's all that he's letting it be known that he's not really interested in doing the sale. It's just that he's being forced to do so. And also the Ashkalta, and he also signed with another person on the Shtar Mechira that was written by Ones afterwards. So Amar Afuna, Mand the Chasim Amodaa Shapir Chasim, Umand the Chasim Ashkalta Shapir Chasim. Whoever signed on the Shtar Modaa did the right thing, because that was written before the sale happened ba'ones, and therefore it's mevatel the mechira. So that is a proper way to behave. That's a proper thing to do. And some of the one who signed on the ashkalta, on the actual shtar mechira, also the proper thing to do. That's also the right thing. So the Gemara immediately understands that what Rav Huna was trying to say is that both the Moda'a and both the Mechira are Chal Ba'ones. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense. Manavshuch. It can't both be true. E Moda'a lo Ashkalta. If the Moda'a was Chal, then that's Mevatel the Mechira that happens Ba'ones, and therefore the Ashkalta, the Shtar Mechira, is no good. V'i Ashkalta lo Moda'a. And if the Shtar Mechira is good, then obviously the Moda'a that was given in advance, that this is not a good Mechira, is not a valid Moda'a. So what do you mean that it's a good thing to sign on the Moda'a and the Ashkalta? So it explains the Gemara, Hachi Ka'amar, where Rav Huna meant to say was as follows, Ilav Moda'a man d'chasim Ashkalta shaper chasim. If Papi would not have given such a Moda'a, then someone who would have signed on the Shtar Mechira would be a proper signature, a proper thing to do, because that Mechira would be Chal. Meaning, just because the Mechira is happening Ba'ones, that does not fundamentally passel the Mechira. The Mechira could be Chal Ba'ones, it's only because there's a Moda'a over here that the Mechira is not going to be Chal. Rav Huna l'tameh, and this is Rav Huna l'shitaso. Dam Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, and we learned this a couple of days ago, tell you of a Zabin, Zvine Zvine, that if someone is forced into a sale, the sale is going to be Chal, even though it happens Ba'ones, and we spent a lot of time yesterday explaining why that should be so. We had these different possibilities, but ultimately what we settled on is that it's a svara, that agav onso, a person is gomer daito to actually engage in the transaction, to make the transaction be chal. So now that Papi gave this moda'a, the mechira is not going to be chal, even though it's the same eidim that signed on the moda'a that are now signing on the shtar mechira. So ask the Gemara, Eini, is that really the halacha? V'am Rav Nachman, but doesn't Rav Nachman say, and generally generally speaking, we paskin like Rav Nachman in Dine Maminus, that our Edim Sha'amru Amana Yidvarenu, if Edim sign on a Shtar Alva, and then they say afterwards, you know what, we actually didn't see any real loan happen. It was just Amana Yidvarenu. This Shtar was written before any loan happened, and the Lova just trusted the Malva that he's not going to ask for the money unless he actually lends him the money. So what they're essentially saying is that this Shtar is puzzle because the Shtar Amana is not a kosher Shtar. There was no actual loan that took place. So the halacha is Ein Amanim. We do not believe the Edim to puzzle the Shtar. And the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos in the second parak discusses this and explains it, that since they sign on the Shtar, that's as if they were made in Beis Din, that it's Kamish Nechgrei Dusim Beis Din Dami when you're Chosem al Shtar. So now they're saying that it's puzzle. They're being Makchish, the Edos that's in the Shtar. And Edim that are made in Beis Din are not able to change their minds and say, oh, we were just kidding and we don't really mean it. Kivan Shehigid, Shuveinu Chozer Magid. Once they say their Edos, they can't back out on their Edos. Plus, it's usher to write a Shtar Amana, because they're signing Sheker if they write a Shtar Amana. And there's another principle in Halacha, Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person is not believed to say about himself that he's a Rasha. So if these Edom are saying, oh, this loan never happened, but we wrote the Shtar anyway, we signed the Shtar anyway, we don't believe them, because they're saying, according to their own testimony, they're a bunch of liars, and a person is not trusted to make themselves a liar. And also we don't believe them, because they already gave their testimony in the Shtar, and you keep in Shigit Shoveinu Chozer Magid. Had the and Vedim sign on the Shtar Mechira, and they then later say Moda'a Hayu Dvarenu, that the Mocher gave a Moda'a in front of us before we wrote the Shtar, that he's only selling it because of some sort of Ones, and he proved to us that there was some sort of Ones. They're not believed to be Mevatel the Shtar Mechira, because Edim can't be Makchish their original Edus, and their original Edus was what they wrote in the Shtar, that the Mechira actually did happen. So if that's the case, once Rabbi Bar Bar Chana signed on the Shtar Mechira, how could the Shtar Modah help to be Mevatel it? How could Rav Huna say that it's going to help? Apparently, according to Rav Nachman, Modah Hayidvarenu Zayin Emanim, that if you sign on the Shtar Mechira, you're not allowed to say that it's only that there was a Modah and it's not really a valid sale. So the Gemara answers now, Hani Mili, when Rav Nachman says that you're not believed to say Modah Hayidvarenu, that's Alpeh, Delo Asi Alpeh, Umar Lishtar. That's when they say Modai Dvarenu Balpeh, that what they say Balpeh can't come and undo Bimevatel a Shtar that they signed on previously, because their Edus in the Shtar is considered Edus Nechra Bezdin, so they can't be Mevatel that which is Nechra Bezdin. Avul Bishtara, Asi Shtara Umar Shtara, but if they actually have a Shtar Modaa, so then a Shtar that precedes the Shtar Mechira, which is the Shtar Modaa, can certainly be Mevatel the Shtar Mechira, meaning that's the very nature of a Moda'a. That's the whole point of Moda'a. That's what it's supposed to do. If it precedes the Mechira, the person says, I'm letting it be known. It's a Moda'a. I'm letting it be known in advance that this Mechira is not something I'm really interested in doing or intending to do. I'm being forced into it. So if that actually precedes, they have a Shtar Moda'a that comes and precedes the Shtar Mechira, so yeah, then of course that's going to be Chal. That's going to work. That's why Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who signed on the Mechira, it works, the Shtar Moda'a that he signed previously works to be mevatel that mechira. So Gemara is going to just bring a machlokas about this din of Rav Nachman. Gufa, going back to what Rav Nachman said, that Rav Nachman had said that if Edim say Ammano Hidvarenu, yes, we know that we signed on the Shtar, but it was all a Shtar Ammano. Or Edim say, yeah, we know we signed on the Shtar, but there's a Moda'a. The guy was Ba'ones that he engaged in the transaction, so they're not believed. So I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said, Edim signed on the Shtar Alva, Ammano Hidvarenu, Ena Ammano. So Mar Bar Avashi says, no, Amana Hidvarenu Ein Amanim. Edim saying that it was an Amana or a Moda is not considered a Chazara from their original Edus. They're just adding another Prat that we didn't know about. And therefore, if they say Amana Hidvarenu, it's true they're not believed. But Moda'a Hayidvarenu Ne'amanim. But if they say Moda'a Hayidvarenu, then they are believed. Why the difference? My taima, why would there be a chilik between Edim saying Amano Yidvarenu versus Moda'a Yidvarenu? Shezen itan likasi v'shtar mechira that has a Moda'a written on it in advance is supposed to be written, meaning that Shtar Mechira is supposed to be written in order to save the person who's being pressured from the pressure, from the onus that he's facing, because here's someone who was holding a gun to his head and telling him that you better sell me this karka. Until they write that shtar, the gun is going to stay by his head. So it's appropriate to have that shtar written. The moda'a was given in advance, but you still write the shtar right now in order to save him from this onus. And therefore, when the Edim say, moda'a hayidvarenu, they are not declaring themselves to be Rishayim, because it's appropriate to write a shtar mechira after a moda'a is given. They did nothing wrong by being Edim in this case. So there's no issue of Einal Demesim Asmarashva. Vizel lo nitan likasev, but a shtar amana, why on earth were they writing a shtar amana? There's no excuse to write a shtar amana. Shtar amana is that, yeah, there was no loan, but we trusted that there might be a loan, and therefore we wrote a shtar on it. That's not okay. You're not allowed to write a shtar amana. So Einal Demesim Asmarashva, the Edim are not going to be believed to say amana hayidvarenu, because that by definition would turn them into Rishayim. So essentially the difference between Rav Nachman versus Mar Bar Rav Ashi is that Rav Nachman holds that it's not only an issue of Einal Demesim Asmarashva, it's also an issue of Kivin Shigit Shuvenu Chozer Amagid, that once a person has testimony, he can't undo that testimony that's going to be machish the original testimony. Whereas according to Mar Bar Rav Ashi, it's not an issue of being machish the original edus. That's a modah, is not considered a backtrack of any original edus. No, the whole issue is Einal Demesim Asmarashva, and that only applies in the case of amana. The notion of Einal Demesim Asmarashva does not apply in the case of a shtar modah, because they've done nothing wrong in the case of the shtar modah. So now we move on to the next discussion in the Mishnah, which was V'lo li'ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto, that a man does not have a chazaka in his wife's possessions. So the Gemara asks, why is this necessary? Pshita. Obviously, given the islay lepira, piruhu dekaachil. Obviously, since a husband has the rights to eat the peros of his wife's nichse malug, that's part of the takanas chachamim, that in exchange for his obligation to redeem her should she fall into captivity. The Mishnah Ksubas tells us this is there are agreements, certain obligations that he has toward her, and because of those obligations, we can't make it a one way street. Because if we make it a one way street, that he only has obligations toward her, but he doesn't benefit from her in any way, so then it would be cause a sense of Eva, it would be a sense of a lack of Shalom Bayis. He's going to feel like it's a one-way street, and that's not healthy for the marriage. So Chazal were misakein that in exchange for her getting redeemed when she's taken captive through his money, that it's his responsibility to redeem her, so he gets the peros. But obviously, if he's entitled to the peros, so when you see him in the field eating the peros, that's not a reflection of his bailus on the karka. She doesn't need to make a macha'a. Everyone knows that he's the husband, and that's why he gets to eat the peros. The Ritva just adds that this is like, it's as if they're Aiden that he went betoras arisus or betoras mashkon into the field, where achilas peros does not reflect bailus on the karka at all, meaning there's another good, reasonable explanation that everyone realizes as to why the husband's in the field. So says Gemara Lo Tzricha, the case of the Mishnah is the kasavla dinu dvarim einli b'nechsayich, that the husband wrote to the wife, I'm not interested. He's mevater on the zchus of the peros of her nechasim. And the chiddush is that even though he doesn't have the zchus of peros, a woman's still would not normally make a macha against her husband when her husband eats the peros off of the nechasim, even if he's not entitled to them al pi din, because still at the end of the day he's supporting her, so she wouldn't make a macha, and if she wouldn't make a macha, so mele his chazaka is not a chazaka, because as we pointed out many times, chazaka to a large extent is a function of macha. If a person cannot make a macha on the karka, then you can't have a chazaka on the karka. There has to be potential for a macha, and we assume that a woman would not make a macha on her husband, even if the husband is not entitled to the peros. So the Rashbam just points out, and the Achronim rather just point out that based on this, if a woman says eini nizonos ve'eini osa, where he no longer has an obligation to give her mizonos, so then if he eats the peros off for karka, there will be a chazak. It's not stam that any woman with her husband would never make a macha. She's not going to make a macha, the Rashbam says, because he's he may not have the rights in her karka, but he's still giving her mezonos. He's still supporting her, so she wouldn't make a macha against the guy that's supporting her. Ooh, but if a woman has given up the rights of support, ain't mezonos v'ain yosa, which she has the right to do, because part of the exchange is he's entitled to her maisi adayim, whatever little bit she makes. It used to be women didn't make very much money; they didn't have much earning potential. They weren't women out in the workplace, so whatever she sews in her house or whatever. So in exchange for that, he would provide her with mezonos. But let's say she happens to be a high-powered Wall Street whatever executive or something, and she makes a lot more money than the $50 a meal money that he gives her a day. So then she could say, "Any mezonos? No, thank you for your money. Ve'ini osa. I'm going to keep my maisi adayim." So if that's the case, then she doesn't have any hesitation to make a macha'a when he goes into her karka. So I ask Gemara, but wait a second, if he says to her, "Dinu dvarim eli minichsayich, my havi," what difference does that make? Even if he says that he's not interested in her nechasim, he still gets to eat the peros of the nechasim. He's still entitled to it. Because Vatanya, the Braisa tells us, ha'omer lechavero, if a person tells to his partner one of the following things, "Dinu dvarim eli al sadazu," or he says, "Ve'eli esekba," or he says, "V'yadi misalekas mimena," any of these lashonos that suggest that I'm not I'm not interested in getting what I'm entitled to from this karka, lo omar klum, that is not it's as if he didn't say anything. That is not a lashon matana, and therefore he still has that karka. He has to say a proper lashon of matana if he wants to give it up. So the same over here by the husband. The husband says dinu dvarim mainly b'nechsayich. That doesn't mean anything. You know, when a person says such a lashon, a person says, you know, yadi mislaksim ana ainli esek. The Rashbam understands it's a lashon tefila. Halavai that I shouldn't have any asek in it. It's not a lashon of a statement of a kinyan. Meaning lashon tefila, I think, is a little bit of a melitza. Meaning when you're not actively making a kinyan, so you're just saying, yeah, I don't care, I don't really need it. But that's not a kinyan. That's not saying that it's no longer yours. It has to be a lashon kinyan to actually make it no longer yours. So Amrila. So they explain the answer given in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yanai, Masnisin Bekosivla Va'oda Rusa. The case of the Mishnah where the husband actually no longer has the rights to the peros of her Nichse Melug is where he writes Dinu Dvarim Ein Li B'Nechsayich when she's still an Arusa, that uses such a lashon, where he still hasn't yet acquired the rights to the peros. The truth is, the Gemara could have said, he could have just adjusted his lashon. Once we're adjusting the case, we could have just adjusted his lashon to be a lashon of kinyan, and then made that the case where the husband doesn't have the right to the peros, and nevertheless he doesn't have a chazaka b'nichsei yishto. But instead of adjusting the lashon, for whatever reason, the Gemara decided to adjust the case a little bit, that he said it to her ba'od arusa while she was still an arusa. Uchid Rav Kahana, and this is in line with what Rav Kahana taught us. Damar Rav Kahana, that prior to receiving something that one is supposed to receive, that you have the ability to make a tanai that you won't get it in the first place, that you're not going to receive it, but that's only in advance before you've received it. So when she's Narusa, he does not yet have the rights to the Nichsei Malug. So before he gets them, he can say, you know what, the Nichsei Malug that are coming to me, I don't want them. Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Bahem, and that's enough to prevent him from ever gaining the rights in the Nichsei Malug. But once it started, once they're already married, fully married, once they have Nisuin, and he already has the rights in the Nichsei Malug, well, then it's too late. Then he's not going to be able to say a lashon of Dinu Dvarim mainly. That's just a lashon tefila. That is not a lashon of kinyin. Uchad Rava, and this is in line with what Rava said. That anyone who says, I'm not interested in Takanas Chachamim, like such a case, we listen to him. Mike Gonzos, what do you mean, like such a case? Like what Rav Huna Merav said. Dam Rav Huna Merav, Yechol Isha Shetomer Lebaila, Eini Mizonas Ve'eini Yosa. That a woman is able to tell her husband, I'm not interested in the Mizonos, and therefore I'm not going to do any work for you. Like we mentioned before. If you look at the Rashbam in Dibra Masal Uketarava, Kolomar, Ube'ezo Nachla Moala Tanai, when does it help to make such a Tanai that I'm not interested in this Nachla? B'nachla abalo b'takanas chachamim. Dafka, something that the chachamim were misakein that you're entitled to. Kidarava, like Rava's statement about the Maisi Adayim, that a woman is supposed to give to her husband in exchange for the mizonos. That's a takanas chachamim. So the woman could say, eini nizonos, v'eini osa, no thank you, not interested in the takanas chachamim. But, says the Rashbam, aval b'nachla do raisa, kugodinu dvar meili b'irushas avi kishayamus, lomo latinai, dval korcho shalo yehei, elim ken yinan alacherim b'losh matana. But on a nachla do raisa, a person says, before his father dies, didn't dvarim ainli benich say my father. No, that doesn't work, because Yerusha is something that happens automatically. Yerusha is something that happens on a doraisa level automatically. So to just say didn't dvarim ainli is not going to be enough to undo or to prevent a Yerusha doraisa from being chal. But to say it by something midrabbanan that you would be entitled to, that you're going to become entitled to, that does work. Now, if you look at the Rashbam about 7-8 lines into the wide lines, so what was the example we gave of where you're allowed to say that I'm not interested in the takanas chachamim, I'm not interested in the benefit the chachamim are giving me? An isha that says enizan v'eniosas. So the Rashbam points out in Farish Taima B'Ksubas, the Gemara explains Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Ches Amud Bet. The fundamental takana was that a man has to support his wife, that he's got to give her mizonos. Whether she does any work or whether she doesn't do any work, it's not that she has to earn her mizonos by doing work. And it was only later on that they said, you know what, we're going to have it where he's giving her mizonos and she's going to make money on the side, and she's going to be able to keep that money. That's going to cause a sense of lack of shalom bayis. It's going to cause a sense of eva. And that's why she's the one that has the right to forego and to forgive that takana. Meaning, if the husband were to come along and say, I'm not interested in supporting my wife, so any zana, I'm not going to support her, and it's okay, she doesn't have to give me her maisi adayim. Whatever she sews on the side, she doesn't have to give that to me. Whatever the $2 that she makes when she sells a sweater that she knitted, I'm not interested. The husband is not able to do that, because that takana was not made for his benefit. It was made for her benefit, that he would be able to support her. So the whole takan of the mizonos was for her. So that's why she has the right to give up on it, to forego it if she wants to. Now, if you look at Tosos, Yichali Ish Tomer Labayla Pirsh Bekunchus V'Chikamer Nami Eini Mekabel Alai Takanos Perkonav Eini Choshesh Peperos Nuxem Meluk Shalosh Etiknuli Demol Atnai Ba'od Arusa Shadayin Lozach V'Karkosel Leperos. That the connection to what we're saying over here is that the husband is saying that I'm not Mekabel to redeem her from captivity, and therefore I don't need the Peros Nuxem Meluk. So the husband is allowed to forego that right to the peros nuchsei malug in exchange, and say that he's not going to be responsible for redeeming her from captivity when that should come up. Uktsasa yinir l'rashba lahavi raya l'dvar miditanya paragnarshin spatata tiknu perkona tachas peros shmamina de peri ikr. Meaning the point is over here, who's the one that's able to forego the right, the one who the ikr takana was made for? And that's gufa what we're saying over here, that if the husband says, I'm not interested in the peros, that's only effective because we're assuming that the takana of peros nuchsei malug was made for his benefit, just like mizonos was made for her benefit, and the maisi adayim was just to balance things out a little bit. The takana of peros nuchsei malug was fundamentally made for his benefit, and the redemption from captivity was just what was given in exchange of that. However, the Tosafot goes on to question that assumption that what was Iker and what was actually Tafel over here in the discussion. So anyway, now back to the Gemara. So the Gemara just points out that the Mishnah had said that the Chazakah of 3 years does not help for a Baal Benichse Yishto. So it says the Gemara, Haraya yesh. A husband can't have a chazaka in nechse yishto, but the implication is that if there's a raya with edim or with shtar, that a woman had sold him the property, so that would be good. Then he would that would prove ownership. So Tema, the Gemara asks, why can't the woman say that I never intended to sell it, but rather, nachasruah chasisi lebaili. I was trying to be a good wife. You know, I was trying to make him happy so that he shouldn't get angry at me. As Rosh Pam points out, the Tema nachasruah chasisi lebaili shemachati lo shaliyichos alai, I just didn't want him to get angry at me. Avaloi, betaiti laknosa. I didn't really want to give him my nichse malug to lo dami letalyu of zavin desvine zvini. And then Rosh Pam points out, well, wait a second. I don't care if you didn't, you just wanted to make him happy. Isn't that exactly the case of Taliyu of Zavin? And Taliyu of Zavin, it is a binding sale when someone forces you into the sale. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that she was being forced into it by her relationship or her desire to keep a relationship with her husband, and therefore it should be a binding sale. So whatever excuse she gives, it's irrelevant. It's a binding sale anyway. Says Rosh Pam, no. There's no one actually forcing her to sell to her husband. The husband's not forcing her. She's saying, I just felt like I had to do it because I felt like it would be good for the relationship. When there's an onus, then we assume a person is gomer amakni, that the onus causes the person to want to do it and to actually be in on the sale and have full gemiras das to make the sale happen. But over here, by the woman, we're not assuming that she's gomer amakni because there was no real onus. There was no real actual overt pressure. It was just that she felt for the relationship that she wanted to do in nachas ruach, but she didn't really want to do it, and therefore the sale should not be valid. So Milo Tanan, so why can't she say that? Why is it that a raya, a shtar, would help? Shouldn't the woman always be able to say, nah, the shtar was a joke. I was just trying to make a nachas ruach for my husband. After all, Milo Tanan, doesn't the Mishnah say, Maseches Gittin, lakach min ish, v'chaz v'lakach min isha, if a person buys karka that's meshuba to a woman's ksuba from the husband, and then he goes and he buys that same karka for much less money from the wife, so that the wife would not come claiming that karka as part of her ksuba payment, mekho batel, whatever he bought from the wife is batel, and if the husband dies or divorces her, she is able to collect from that karka for her ksuba. Alma amra nachas ruach chasisi lebaili. So apparently she's allowed to say nachas ruach chasisi lebaili, and she'd be believed. So achanami tema nachas ruach chasisi lebaili. So why over here when she said that she sold her husband the nitzay malug? Yes, it's a shtar, and I sold it to him, but only because nachas ruach chasisi lebaili, and not because I really wanted to sell it to him. Why don't we say the same thing over here, that she'd be believed, and therefore the sale is not valid? So answers the Gemara, ha'it marala. We already said about this Mishnah, amar Rabba Barafu. The Mishnah only needed to say that the Mekach is not going to be Chal in the three Sados that we're about to explain. Achas, one of those three sados is shekasav la b'ksubasa, that it was written directly into the ksuba, that it's meshuba to the ksuba, where she relies on the fact that that particular field is identified in the ksuba more than any of the other fields. So even though it says because it says it in the ksuba, that even though it says that all of his nechasim are achrayi to the ksuba, there is this one field that is beferish in the ksuba. Va'achas sheyi one that he identified balpet to her, that she should be able to collect her ksuba from, that she brought from her father's house at the time of the nisuin, and they evaluated the value of that field that she brought, and they wrote it into the shtar ksuba, and the husband was mekabel achrayus for that. That's what we call tzon barzel. So even though it's not written as a shiba to the ksuba more than the other fields, since she brought it from her father's house, she's more reliant on that to receive that field. So says more lemute mai. What is Rabbi Rav Huna coming to exclude when he says that we're only talking about one of these three fields? If it's coming to exclude other nechasim of the Baal, kol shekein dahavi le'eva. All the more so that there's going to be some sort of sense of eva if she refuses to sell other fields to him. The husband is going to say, wow, you really want me to have these fields to pay back your ksuba? You must really think that your ksuba is getting paid. So I don't know what you want. You want me to die? You want to get divorced? So that's going to be a greater sense of eva. Now, what it comes to exclude is where she's not able to say nachas ruach chasisi lebaili because they are hers and she can easily refuse. It's not going to cause any sense of eva, dafka by nichsei miluk, by the other three fields, and by all of nichsei tzon barzel, that she could easily say nachas ruach asisi lebaili, because if I don't sell it, it's going to look like I want my husband to die or I want to get divorced. But by nichsei miluk, she has every right to refuse, and there's no reason why she should feel any pressure to sell. So if she actually sells her regular nichsei miluk with a shtar, that is absolutely a raya that it is sold, and therefore the husband would have a raya with a shtar, even though he cannot have a chazaka in the nichsei miluk. A freilich and purim will stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow.